Welcome to Escape from Cubicle 17, Episode 8 for Tuesday, October 14th. Before I get started, I just want to say that I recently attended FenCon. It was this previous weekend. It was the first weekend in October, and I want to say I had a great time. Now, it's not the first time I've been to FenCon. As a matter of fact, this is the third time that I've been. It's held in Dallas, Texas every year, although for the last two, it's in a little suburb called Addison, Texas, but that's not important right now. This year's guests, the guest of honor was Greg Benford this year. Their theme this year was celebrating 50 years of conventions or fandom in Texas. Their artist guest of honor was Real Musgrave, who had a coming out of retirement party. Their fan guest of honor was Gerald Burton from the Oklahoma City area. And as a matter of fact, that interview is coming up here shortly. The Toastmaster was to have been Howard Waldrop. If he hadn't heard, he hadn't been doing so well, and he is doing much better, but his doctors didn't release him to come to the convention. However, David Lee Anderson and author Bradley Denton fulfilled in admirably for his Toastmaster duties. The musical guests of honor were the Three Weird Sisters. There were many, many more guests, and I can't mention them all, but you can check out their website and get all that information. And also, the Brobdingnag Nagian Bards were there, which was great to see. Alas, that was one of their very last performances together. They are going their separate ways, and we look forward to seeing them in their future individual endeavors. What did I like about the con? Well, when I asked Gerald Burton what he liked about running conventions, he said it was meeting people. Couldn't agree more. It is definitely meeting the people at these conventions, the other fans, the artists, the authors, the musicians. It's just a blast. I didn't attend that many panels, although I did go to a fair number of room parties. So, without further ado, here is my interview with Gerald Burton, the fan guest of honor of FenCon 5. Welcome to Escape from Cubicle 17. This is Chris Marley, your podcast host, and I'm recording live at FenCon 5. And this afternoon, on Sunday of the convention, I am speaking with the fan guest of honor, Gerald Burton. I want to welcome you to the show.
Hello.
Well, Gerald, how have you enjoyed the convention so far?
The convention has been very good this year.
So have they been treating you well?
They've been treating me well. The panels have gone off without a hitch. It's been well attended. FenCon is one of the best-run conventions I've ever attended.
I certainly have to agree with that, and I thought Conestoga ran a pretty good convention for us. I'm probably biased because I, you know, helped on that convention a little bit, and I also did the podcast for it. Now, yesterday I went to your panel. You were showing a slideshow, and or showing several slideshows, a lot of pictures that you've taken over the years,
right?
And they go way back. You know, for people in this area, you know, for Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri,
mid '80s.
I mean, there are pictures that it's like, oh my God, I recognize that person. And some of them were like they were a lot younger then too.
Well, I think we're all a lot younger then. It's been 26, 27 years since I've been doing conventions. Actually, it's close to 30, considering that I think the first one I went to was a BabelCon back in 79 in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Well, I've been in fandom almost as long, but I've always kind of been a wallflower, and so I never really got to I only got to know a very small circle of people. I've seen a lot of people. I mean, I've seen you at the conventions over the years, and you know, seen you taking pictures and all that. So I guess probably that kind of leads to, you know, when you look at those pictures of those people, and, you know, we all look at each other today, you know, we're older, we're heavier, less hair, or more hair, depending on, you know.
Depending.
And it leads into the issue of, you know, if you have any thoughts on the graying of fandom, because that seems to be a it seems to be an issue, although what I mean by the graying of fandom is that there's not the full age spectrum, you know, not a whole lot of young people coming in, or there's a huge gap between, you know, the older fans and then the next generation. And I don't know if that's something that you've noticed.
Well, I won't say much as far as the graying of fandom. Yes, we are getting older. The gap, I don't think so much is the age. I think the gap is that fandom is changing. The new generation of fans are more into anime, for one. And if you notice anime conventions, the average age is less than 20 of most of the attendees. And in fact, Tokyo and Tulsa, which recently happened, their committee, I'm not sure how many of them were much more than 25 at the most.
Well, you know, I think also as we get older, our tastes change. So, you know, I wouldn't look at it necessarily as a bad thing because, you know, my tastes have changed tremendously over the years. And so hopefully as we get older that, you know, they might want to, you know, I don't want to use the word get more mature, but maybe more sophisticated in their tastes, and that they'll branch out and hopefully
they will. There's nothing wrong with anime. There's nothing wrong with any of the other genres that have started. It's just that fandom encompasses so many different things. Mm-hmm. And you can't be a fan of all of them. It's almost impossible.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you have to get the groups of special interest. You have to get the Doctor Who fans, the gaming fans, the Star Trek fans, you know, the literary fans, and so that you'll have enough people to have critical mass.
Yeah, you need enough people that are interested in what you're really wanting to focus on, such as FinCon. Mm-hmm. FinCon wanted to become a general interest convention with a big emphasis on filk, and they've done a real good job of that.
Well, that's excellent. Yeah, I saw in your bio that you really are into Phil.
I spent many a nights at conventions sitting behind a cassette deck with two condenser mics on mic stands recording Phil's. I've got probably a couple of hundred hours of live recorded music mm-hmm. that I have yet to transpose to the computer, mm-hmm. which is a time-consuming task that I haven't gotten into doing yet.
Yeah, there was an airplane that just flew by, and so we heard that. And that reminds me to ask some questions about some of your mundane job a little later, or mundane hobbies, because apparently someone said you restore airplanes or work on them?
I'm an aircraft mechanic. Basically at the Tink Air Force Base in Oklahoma City.
Okay, so. Well, cool.
So, yes, I do work on them. I also built modeled airplanes, remote control and control mm-hmm. line airplanes, and have done a lot of photographing at a lot of air shows. Some mm-hmm. at the local Air Force Base, some at other airports, and just cameras and photographing and recording films has been a big hobby of mine.
Okay. I want to get back to the photography a little bit, and we'll also, I'm jumping around, but there's a lot of things I want to cover. You know, we're talking about the photography stuff like that. What inspired you or possessed you to just start taking pictures of at conventions?
All the costuming. Initially, it was the joy of seeing people so excited at the fact that they had created a character that they had either read about or seen on TV mm-hmm. or seen in the movies. I've never been real creative. I've always had trouble drawing things, mm-hmm. even straight lines with T-squares in drafting class, and that was a surprise to the teacher. But I've always liked watching people, and using a camera, you get to watch people over and over. You get to see it. You get to save it. A lot of times people don't get a chance to see themselves, so I always would try. If I got an address, I always made, mm-hmm. if I had prints made, I always sent them a copy. So they got to see what their costume looked like.
Well, that's good. One of the things, you know, since you've been photographing for so long, you've obviously made the transition from film to digital.
Yeah.
Have you noticed a big difference in, do you feel like you're taking a lot more pictures now? Or
actually, I'm probably taking less pictures now shooting digital. I don't know really what the reason is. I do know that I take less, I keep less, because the ones that don't turn out go away.
Yeah.
I don't save them. When you're shooting film, you almost have to shoot more because you don't get a chance to see if it's going to turn out, so you wind up with four copies of something, hoping that at least two of them are good.
Yeah. Well, I would think some of it is the fact that you've gotten so much more experience, you know what's going to make a good shot.
Mm-hmm. And I've gotten better at reading the people as to whether or not they want their photo taken.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I had to learn over the years as to when not to take photos.
Yeah. Yes, there were a couple of remarks at your slideshow. People were going like, who is this weird person taking my picture?
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of stalking laws, and if there had been, I might have been in trouble back then.
But they're still good pictures, even though the people look like, why is he taking my picture?
Mm-hmm. I do have a few people wonder, why are you taking my picture? Because I think you look good enough to take a picture mm-hmm. of.
Yeah, I mean, it's just also the fact that you're chronicling, even though if you're not taking pictures of authors or artists, you're taking pictures of the fans, and the fans that, mm-hmm. you know, these are the people that, you know, that come to the conventions and they want to have a good time and get to meet the artists and authors.
Right. Yeah, I was recently at a workshop at SoonerCon done mm-hmm. by professional photographer, and I sent him a link to my PhotoBucket account, which is Captain CAPT hyphenated Coconut. And I wanted him to give me an idea of what he thought I was doing. And he came back, he says, from what I've seen, you're more of a photojournalist. The reason this came up is the models that he had with him at the photo shoot talked about guys with cameras. And I got to thinking about some of the things I've done, and I was wondering how much of that impression I had given off to people. I'm just another guy with a camera who's out to get a shot of some lady. And I kind of wanted someone else's opinion of my work as to where I fit. And it was nice to find out that he considered me a photojournalist.
Well, that's good. I think it's always nice to be able to, you know, is to catch people kind of in a natural setting, and that they're not posing for you. Although sometimes it's nice to have the people in the fancy costumes pose.
Well, the costume themselves, you almost have to have a pose because you won't get the full effect of the costume.
That's true.
Because despite all the makeup, all of the material, a lot of the character is the person, not just the outfit they're wearing. It's the personality that has to come through. And unless they're in character, you won't get that.
Well, I will be sure to include a link to Gerald's PhotoBucket account so that you can take a look at all the wonderful pictures that he's taken. Now, obviously, you've scanned a lot of the analog pictures or the film pictures in. Are those posted as well, or are you just mostly...
Not yet.
Not yet.
That was a recent undertaking because of doing the convention. I decided that would be the best thing to do instead of what I've already taken, which so many other people have. You know, you shoot at FinCon, you've got 6 or 7 dozen photographers already shooting everything at FinCon.
Yeah.
And I decided to bring out what very few people have seen over the years.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating just to go back and see, you know, because you just don't remember what it was like, and then you kind of get like, oh my God.
People you haven't seen in years, such as Tom Howard, who showed up this year.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen him in over 15.
And of course, you can have some blackmail photographs for the people that are wearing mullets.
Yes, at least they have the hair to wear mullets.
That's true. I wanted to shift directions and start talking about, you know, because it's not just the photography that landed him a spot as the fan guest of honor. He's done a tremendous amount of work on conventions in the Oklahoma City area. And you've worked on, I understand you've worked on SoonerCon and ThunderCon, and there was something about a vampire or Norman Conquest? Or
There was a convention in Norman called SurrealCon.
Okay.
I did not work on the Norman Conquest. That was before I really got started in fandom. But yes, most of the conventions in the mid-80s and mid-90s in Oklahoma City, I had some hand in, some I actually chaired.
Now, the SoonerCon was your primary convention that you worked
SoonerCon
on?
SoonerCon was my primary convention.
And what were some of the roles that you played in that?
Dealer's room liaison. I was vice chair at two of them. I was chairman for two of them. I worked the art show for most of them. For several years, that was my job. I was the art show director.
Yeah. I think I went to one of the, I haven't been to the new SoonerCon yet, but I think I went to like the last one or two of the previous SoonerCon, and I had a pretty good time.
It was a well-respected, well-run convention, and we lost it, but some of us got a little too tired and needed a break.
That always happens because, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you have the same core group of people doing the same things over and over again, and it's hard to get new blood in.
Yeah, if you don't get the new blood, sometimes you get burnout, and some of us had gotten burnout, so we took a break. SoonerCon has started again, not with the same people. There's a new group running it. They have a slightly different focus, and it's turning into another real good convention.
Well, that's excellent. Hopefully I'll get to make it some year, but it's just there's always been something going on that weekend that I haven't been able to make it down for it. What you know, because it's a lot of work, and sometimes it's a thankless task to run a convention. So, what is it about doing the work of volunteering for a convention or helping to run a convention that you find rewarding?
Meeting the people, all the people from various places that have some of the same interests you do.
I mean, I know you've met a lot of people, but are there any particular people that stand out, fans or guests?
I won't say there was any that really stood out. I think because the fact that everybody is different and we all, for at least a weekend, come together with no problems usually. There's no fighting, no arguments. It's all a common interest and everybody is happy is the thing that I really like about it. They don't care about your race, creed, color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about a group of people who, in some form or fashion, already believe they're aliens. You know,
some of them might be aliens.
Some of them might be aliens.
Yeah, I've noticed there is a lot of tolerance, and I find that very refreshing. Of course, sometimes it's not so much, it's not, their background or whatever. It's sometimes the person that you have a problem with is just simply they haven't been well socialized, and
that's true.
And of course, I do see people work to help bring them around, stuff like that. So that's the only downside that I've seen. But as far as being open and welcoming, I think that
for the most part, fandom really does a good job of trying to get everybody included.
Yeah.
In what's going on.
And probably I would say a microcosm of that, or that exemplifies the inclusiveness of fandom, is probably Filkdom or Filking.
Yeah. It covers everything from acoustic to strictly vocal to electric now, which we didn't have for a while, but we now have electric allowed in the Filks, and it covers a wide variety of styles.
And a wide variety of talent levels, too.
Yes. Yes, it's one of the few places to where if I really wanted to sing, I could, but I know better. I don't want to hurt anybody.
My wife, Mel Tatum, who she also loves Filk as well, she's a good flute player, mm-hmm. but her singing is improving. she wants to be able to – I think she would probably like to have some other people sing her Filk songs. But she will perform her songs, and even though her voice isn't the best, she does get positive response from the material that she does present.
Yeah. Filkers are usually pretty forgiving about things. More so – it's more about the lyrics sometimes as opposed to the quality of voice. There are exceptions to the rule. When you have mm-hmm. great Filkers that – have great voices, you would love to hear them. But everybody seems to get a chance, and for the most part, everybody's happy with it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of – there are quite a few fairly big names that I've seen here. Margaret Middleton, and I'm trying to think of – well, the Three Weird Sisters are the Filk guests.
The Filk guests, Three Weird Sisters, Bragan, Noggin, Bards are here.
Alas, this is their last convention performance. They're going their separate ways. I think it's mainly because Mark Gunn is moving.
Yeah. Yeah, they've – been together 9 years, which I didn't know until today.
Yeah.
And they've decided to kind of take a break from each other and kind of go separate ways.
Yeah. Well, they're both very talented. I've enjoyed their shows. I saw them here 2 years ago.
Right.
And of course, Mark Gunn has a bajillion podcasts, out there. So I kind of listen to those to keep up on the Celtic music side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to, you're Filking. Now, do you compose any Filk?
Do not compose any Filk. Do not sing. I listen. I record. I make suggestions as to you would probably sound real good doing this particular song. There's great voices that have not found certain music yet mm-hmm. that I also every now and then try to help them out.
Yeah, that's good. I have an illustration of that. It's not for Filking, but actually I got to go to Worldcon in Glasgow in 2005, and they had the costume contest, and they had a couple. They were promoting Denvention.
Right.
And they were dressed as gnomes. And someone made a comment, and I don't remember if it was like the row behind me or actually it was made, over the PA. And they said, you need to pick a costume that fits your body type. And,
true.
And in some ways that was might have been a little cruel, but it was true. So it sounds to me that you're trying to get people to find material that suits them.
I won't say find material that suits them. I have a friend named Leonard Bishop who has mm-hmm. a great voice. And one of my goals is someday have a duet with Leonard and some of the other wonderful female voices
mm-hmm.
doing a duet to a song, Sack of the Gods.
Okay.
And it's not so much that it would fit him, it's just that I think it would be a great song to hear him do.
I'm going to kind of jump into the, I won't say they're embarrassing questions, but I was reading your bio in the FanCon program book, and you have a nickname, Captain Coconut. And I'm sure that if your friends don't know how you got that nickname, I was wondering if you could kind of relate that.
That involves a convention in Wichita years ago called NeoCon. Me and Leonard Bishop were in attendance. He was chairman of SoonerCon 6 at the time. I was his vice chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing an event for charity. The convention there was getting volunteers to take pies in the face for charity.
Okay. I can see where this is going.
Yes, that's where it went. It was a coconut cream pie that Leonard calmly and quietly stood in front of me and took in the face. After that convention and that coconut cream pie, he decided that he needed to get revenge. Well, when the flyer mail-out was made for SoonerCon later that year, he had given me a new nickname on the back of it for contact purposes for the convention. And I was listed as Gerald Captain Coconut Burton Avatar. And from now on, or from then on, most people who didn't know who I was always knew I was Captain Coconut.
Well, I know some people get nicknames they don't care for, but hopefully this is one that doesn't bother you.
It hasn't bothered me.
Well, that's good. Now, these are the questions that some of your friends, I don't know if they'll be your friends after I ask them, but I wrote some notes down, and I suppose I'll start with the one that might get the best reaction out of you. There's something about blondes and Viking hair, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on those key words.
Okay. There's a convention in Kansas City called Contraception. It's an adult convention. You have to be 21 to attend.
Mm-hmm.
They do a vaudeville show.
Ah.
And it started out as a vaudeville show with an MC, and an MC needed an assistant. Well, for some reason, they decided that their assistants for the MC had to be male, and he had to be dressed in women's clothing.
Okay.
And they were called Vanna, as in Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
Vanna, okay.
From Wheel of Fortune. At a convention in Kansas City called Conquest, a lady kept asking me to be Vanna, to make a fool of myself, basically. And for some reason, I informed them that only if someone would let me wear her armor. There's a lady in Kansas City named Julie, about 6'3",
okay,
has a set of armor that would make any of the movie people who do armor envious. That good. Looked that nice. I never in a million years thought she would ever let anyone else wear it. Of course, I was wrong. She said, yes, you can wear my armor. So that started the ball rolling about me being Vanna. So with the help of other friends, I wound up with a braided wig of yellow yarn and a yellow and black skirt to go with this armor.
You're kind of a Valkyrie then.
Yes. And fortunately, most of the photos have been destroyed.
Did you have a hand in that?
Well, the funniest thing is I actually did one year use that as a Christmas card.
I'm sure that was a memorable Christmas card.
Yeah. Some people still haven't forgiven me for that.
Well, Gerald, I think we're about out of time. I guess you're going to head back to Oklahoma here pretty quick after the convention's over
Actually, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'm going to head back down and listen to some more good filk. Because there's more filk going on here.
Okay. Well, Gerald, again, I want to thank you for joining me on Escape from Cubicle 17, and enjoy the what's left of the convention.
My pleasure, and I'll do the same.
Well, that's it for this episode of the podcast. This is your host, Chris Murley, and stay subscribed, and we got two great interviews coming up that were also recorded at FenCon 5. We have the Three Weird Sisters, who were the musical guests of honor. Actually, that interview was conducted by my wife, Mel Tatum. And we have a special musical treat, Bland Lemon Denton. I'm not sure if that one's next, but 50-50 as to which one you're going to get. Anyway, until next time.